Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Ches. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Ches and Aleph. We are 7 lines into the page. Vekama Ama Beinanis. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landrieu, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, called the Basimcha Le Hashalom, the Nisham Shav Naliyah. It's also sponsored by Aaron and Shoshana Tversky and family, the Zecher Nishmas, Aaron's father, Rav Shlomo Tversky, Zichrono Levracha, Harav Shlomo Shmuel, Ben Rav Yaakov Yisrael, whose yard site was yesterday, the Nisham Shav Naliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss is defining, after spending so much time yesterday, figuring out the size of the Mizbeach and how large each of the amos were on the height of the Mizbeach and the floor space of the Mizbeach, we're going to define Amma Beinonis and also why and where they had larger Amma measuring sticks in the Beis HaMikdash. You would think it would be a universal Amma. So then the Gemara is going to talk about why there is an image of Shushan Habira in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to have two sources for the concept of Kvod Malchus. The Gemara is then going to talk about the therapeutic value of the trees that are going to grow near the streams that emerge from the Bayis HaShlishi. What therapeutic value the leaves of those trees will have. And then the Gemara is going to have the limud for the proper arrangement of the Lechem HaPanim, and then what the halacha is going to be if you have extra. Instead of, let's say, 6 loaves on each seder of the Lechem HaPanim, let's say you have 7. So what's the halacha? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how the Aron and the Badim were situated in the Beis HaMikdash, because we said that most things run in one direction, the Aron maybe runs in another direction, and how we know about that, and how we know which way the Badim ran on the Aron. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the 10 extra Shulchanos and Menoros that Shlomo HaMelech added to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to try to figure out where they were situated and how everything fit, and that's going to take us well into tomorrow's daf to discuss the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash once you have to fit in 10 extra menorahs and 10 extra shulchanos as well. So let's begin 7 lines into the page on Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, "V'kama Amma Beinonis." We had mentioned in the Mishnah the Amma Beinonis, or a mayor says that we use an Amma Beinonis to measure all of the midos in the Mikdash except for the amos of the Mizbeach Hazav and some of the amos of the big Mizbeach, which were 5 tefach amos. Those were small amos, but how big was an Amma Beinonis, which was used for everything else? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shisha tvachim. It was an amma that was 6 tvachim long. Amar Rabbi Yossi Barav and Afa Namitanina. I'll bring a Mishnah that supports that. Rav Meir Omer, Hashulchan Arko Shnei Masar, Virachba Shisha. The Torah tells us that the Shulchan was 2 amos by 1 amma, and Rav Meir says that means that the Shulchan was 12 tvachim by 6 tvachim. So you see very clearly that an amma is 6 tvachim. Mechlal, Davi Amid Nefisha Minah. Wait a second, if this is what we call an Amma Beinonis, and we've already accounted for the smaller Amma, so there must be a bigger Amma somewhere. What was that about? So, we do in fact find in Chazal that there is an Amma that was bigger than the 6 Tefach Amma Beinonis. Vatnan, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, that Shtei Amos Hayu B'Shushan Abira, they had 2 Amma measuring sticks that they kept in a room in the Beis HaMikdash that was referred to as Shushan Abira. It was above the eastern Shar HaAzara, where there was an image of Shushan Abira engraved over that entranceway. And Rashi writes, it was Niskadesh for the placement of these measuring sticks that belonged to Kodesh. Now, Tosos points out in Maseches Pesachim on Daf Peivav that even though there's no din of putting Klei Kodesh in a Makom Mekudosh specifically, but since this room had Kedusha, or a particular level of Kedusha, they made it a place for the Kelim that are Mekudosh as well. The Yad David, the Beis David writes that they put these Midos Dafka on Shushan Abira so that when they see this Tzura, they'll have a certain Yiras HaMalchus, and they'll remember to have a Yira Mikdash as well, and to be careful not to violate Mi'ila, because we're going to see that the function of these measuring sticks was to be very careful about the Dinim of Mi'ila, So the Shushan Abira will inspire a Yiras HaMalchus. Yiras HaMalchus is only a mashal for the Yira that we're supposed to have for the Mikdash, and the Mara Mikdash is going to inspire us not to violate Me'ila and to utilize these measuring sticks appropriately. So what were these two measuring sticks that each measured a different size Amma? Achas al Keren Mizrachis Tzfonis. One was in the northeastern side of the room of Shushan Abira. V'achas al Keren Mizrachis Tzfonis. One was on the southeastern side of the room. Shal Keren Mizrachis Tzfonis. The one that was on the northeastern side of the room, Yisera al Shal Moshe, was larger than the typical six tefach Amma that Moshe Rabbeinu used to measure Chatzi Etzpa, by a half an Etzpa. We assume that the Mishnah Achrona writes that when we say Yisera Mishal Moshe, in an Amma normally we assume means from the elbow to the top of the middle finger. So Yisera Shal Moshe, you might have thought, means that it's larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's actual Amma on his arm. But that can't be the case. Rashi points out in Maseches Bechoros, because Moshe Rabbeinu was enormous. He was 10 Amos tall. So his Amma from elbow to, unless he was totally disproportionate, but he wasn't, because that would be a mum on Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos tall, so his Amma must have been much, much bigger than an Amma. So we say Yisera Mishal Moshe means bigger than the Amma measuring stick that Moshe Rabbeinu used, by a chatzi etzpa, by half of an etzpa. Now an etzpa is a quarter of a tefach, so a chatzi etzpa is an eighth of a tefach. That's the difference between the first Amma measuring stick and the typical Amma measuring stick of Moshe. Shal Keren Mizrachis Dromis, and the one that was on the southeastern side of the room, Haisa Yisera Aleha Chatzi Etzpa, was a Chatzi Etzpa larger than the large one, larger than the one that was a Chatzi Etzpa bigger than Moshe. Nimtza Yisera Al Shal Moshe Etzpa, which means that it turns out that it was a full Etzpa larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma. V'lama Amru Achas Gedol V'Achas Katana. Why do we have to have these two Amos Gedolos? It's a Machlokas Achronim. How to read it? Is it V'lama Amru or Ulema? Meaning, what did they use it for? What did they use these extra Amos for? Kedei Sheyuhu Umanin Noten B'Katana Umachzirin B'Gedola. So that when workers for the Beis Hamikdash, when artisans would work for the Beis Hamikdash, and they would bring their own material from home, and then they would get reimbursed not only for their work but for the material as well. They would measure using one Amma and get paid back using the smaller Amma, so that they would to be extra careful, so that they wouldn't come to violate inadvertently to violate Mi'ila Behegdish. Because if they would measure both what they're providing and what they're getting paid back with the same Amma, sometimes they'll make a mistake by just a tiny bit, and they're going to get paid back more than they actually did, more than they actually provided. So you see that these Amos were larger than the Amos Shel Moshe, and that's why Rav Meir called it the Amma Beinonis. But that was the function of these Amos. Now Tosos points out that it doesn't mean that they would actually violate Mila, because a hekta shavamana that your mechal al shavapruta is mechulal, meaning even if it's not a dollar for dollar exchange, when you're mechalal hegdish, it would still work. It would still work to be mechalal it. And the schar ha'umnin was paid b'derech chilul. It was not derech hana'a. So they didn't, it's just that they didn't want to get hana'a on the back of hegdish. They didn't want to benefit anything, profit off of hegdish. So that's what it really means, Tosa says. Tosa Yotav points out that there is a mission in Tzmura Daf Chavav that when they were mechalal hegdish, On for things that were less than its value, you have to go and reimburse Hagdish, meaning even though it's Mechulal, but you still have a financial obligation to go and reimburse Hagdish. So Tos Yontov points out, so it may not be an Isser Mi'ila, but they still needed this discrepancy of this extra Amma to make sure that they're not falling short of their obligations toward reimbursing Hagdish. And Rashash says, yeah, that's what Tosus means. That's why Tosus writes that it doesn't mean Mi'ila Mamish, but they still had to do this because they didn't want to benefit off of Hagdish. Why didn't they not want to benefit off of Hagdish? Because it would be shirking a responsibility, an obligation to reimburse Hagdish for the difference. So says Mar, okay, so I understand why they needed one Amma measuring stick that was larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma, than a strict Amma, than a precise Amma. But Vitarti Lamali, why did they need two such measuring sticks? So says Mar, Chada Lekaspa V'dava, V'chada Lebinyana. The one that was only a half an etzpa larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's was for Kaspa the Dava, was for silver and gold, where a minor difference makes a major price difference. So they didn't want to make too much of a discrepancy, then no one would ever want to do any work for the Beis Hamikdash. They're going to lose a lot of money. Whereas others were for other building materials, where being off by another half an etzba to be extra safe is not going to bother anybody too much. Okay, so Tananasam, we had said in this Mishnah in Maseches Midos, where we go through the various gates of the Harabayis, that Shara Mizrach Alov Shushan Abira Tzura, that the eastern gate of the Harabayis had an image of Shushan Abira. So Gemara says, my time, why did they make an image of Shushan? So Gemara says two possibilities. Rav Chista Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Chad Amar Kedei Sheyedu Meheichan Ba'u, to always remind themselves of where they came from when they came to Yerushalayim, so that they could have Hakaras HaTov, that they left Paras and that they made it all the way to Yerushalayim. I remember when I visited years ago Yeshivat Reshit Yerushalayim, Rabbi J. Marcus of Chana Levracha showed me the stained glass windows they have in the Beis Medrash, and one of the stained glass windows was an image of the Verrazano Bridge going from Staten Island to Yerushalayim. And he said, always remember where I came from, that he came from Staten Island, and Baruch Hashem, he was Zocha to make it to Yerushalayim. So it's, you're never going to see an image of the Verrazano Bridge in any other Shulam Beis Medrash probably. But so you always want to know where you made it from. B'chad Amar, and the other one said that the reason that we have an image of Shushan Abira, because they should say Emas Malchus Alehen, it's to remind us of the Emas Malchus, the fear that we're supposed to have for the Malchus, and that we were Meshubad, and we shouldn't be Morid B'Malchus. So Amar Abiyana, Eliolim Te Emas Malchus Alecha, there is a Jewish value in having a sense of Emas Malchus Shenemar, and we derive from a pasuk that when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro what's going to happen after Makas Pechoros, it says V'yordu Kol Avdecha Ela Elai V'shtachavuli Lemar. Your avadim are going to come and they're going to bow to me, and they're going to say, and the pasuk goes on, Say Atav Kol Avasher Braglecha, get out of here, we don't want the Jewish people here anymore. But V'lidelo Kamarle, he never told Paro you're going to bow to me, even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he in fact would, because you have to have a certain level of Kvod Malchus, you have to have a certain level of Emas Malchus, and that's what that's why he didn't mention it. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk that Paro bowed to Moshe, nor that the people bowed to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's Midrashim. Rashi and Chumash quotes a Mechilta that Paro was running around Al Pischei Ha'ir, and he was asking Heichon Moshe Shari, where is Moshe Rabbeinu? And even though it doesn't say that he was Mishtachvet to Moshe, that's in fact what happened. I mean, the Torah doesn't say it, but that's in fact what happened, and the Torah doesn't say the people did either, but that is in fact what happened. So that's one source for the concept of Emes Malchus. Rabbi Yochanan Mehacher. Rabbi Yochanan says we get it from a different pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk describes after the fire came down from heaven for Eliyahu Bahara Carmel, and after the slaughter of the Nevi'ei Habal, it says Viyad Hashem Haisa El Eliyahu Vayishanis Masnav Vayoretz Lefnei Achav Ad Boach Yisraela. So that's where the Beis Malchus of Achav was, and he did that in order to be Cholei Kavod the Malchus. The Sfasemis points out that showing kavod to Achav is showing kavod to a Melech Yisrael, not such a nice fellow, but to a Melech Yisrael. So, which anyway, you have a din of Emes Malchus Alecha, but it doesn't give a source for Emes Malchus Umos HaOlam. So, whereas Rabbi Yana's drasha proves what we're really trying to prove, that you're supposed to have an Emes Malchus of the Umos HaOlam as well. So the Merkavas HaMishnah says, you know, there's a tzad in the Tosos in Sanhedrin Daf Chav that Achav didn't have a din of a Melech, but he's logara mimalchei Umos HaOlam, because he had a lot of political power. So if someone takes that kind of control of a country and has that kind of political power, then they become a de facto Melech, at least like a Malchei Umos HaOlam, and therefore maybe it is a valid source for the Malchei Umos HaOlam according to that Sad in Tosos and Maseches Sanhedrin. Okay, now the Gemara brings another machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, seemingly having nothing to do with the previous machlokas, but since we mentioned both Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, so when we discussed what Shushan Abira was there for, so we're going to mention another machlokas. The pasuk in Yecheskel describes the trees that are going to grow along the stream that comes out of the Bayis HaShlishi, and the pasuk describes V'alohu L'trufa. It has has a much more elaborate description. It says that it's going to be kolitz machal lo yibal alehu v'lo yitom piru l'chadash av yivaker, that it's the fruits are never going to run dry, and the leaves are never going to dry up, and it's going to be this constant flow of bracha that comes from these trees. And one of the things that we say is that its leaves are going to be for a medication; they're going to serve as a cure for something. So for what? Rav Chisser v'Yisak bar Avdimi chad amar trufa is a nutrikun of lahatir peh, of a hataras hapeh. So lahatir peh shelamayla, that if someone is mute, it's going to give them the ability to speak. V'chad amar lahatir peh shelamata, that if someone is barren, it's going to give them the ability to have children. So that's the and itmar chiski amar lahatir peh ilmim bar kapara amar lahatir peh akaros. So you have both of those possibilities. Tan Rabbanan, we have another brisa. Now we're going to talk about the arrangements of the lechem apanim, that the Torah describes how there are 12 loaves, there are two rows, and there are six loaves in each row. So does it really need to tell me all of those things? So ilu ne'amar, had it only said v'lakakta solos v'afisos ha'shtem esrei chalos, had it only told me you're supposed to make 12 chalos, v'samto some shtayim arachos, and that you should make them into two rows, v'lo ne'amar, sheish, and it had the Torah not said sheish ha'ma'areches, that it should be six loaves in each of the two rows, so, you know, shouldn't I have been able to figure that out, that if there are 12 loaves and two rows, that it's six in each one? That's a pretty simple math. No, ha'isi omer, achash al arba v'achash al shmona. I would have imagined that it's four loaves in one row and eight loaves in the other row. So I would not have imagined that it's six and six. That's what I would have assumed. So all the Tosus points out, or any other chalukah, right? I would imagine seven and five, or whatever, any other division, two and ten, any other way to divide up the number 12. So the Rashi Shan says, I would have imagined, why would I, if there are 12 loaves and there are two rows, why would I, my mind immediately go to like 11 and 1? No, obviously it's going to be 6 and 6. So he says, no, it means to say that you're allowed to do, that it's not ma'akev, that there is no din that you need to have 6 and 6. Obviously the natural thing to do would be to divide it evenly, but that it doesn't have to be that way, that it's not ma'akev. So Shasemis points out from Lashon of the Brisa, it sounds like, Hayisi Yomer Achash Al Arba, sounds like I Dafka would have said that, but it doesn't make any sense to say that. So he says it means that I would have thought that it's not Ma'akiv. Lekach Nemer Sheish. That's why it has to say Sheish Amareches. Vilu Nemer Shtayim Arachu Sheish Amareches. And if it would have said that you have two rows with six in each of them, Velo Nemer Shteim Esrei, and it would not have said a total of 12 Chalos, Hayisi Yomer Shalosh Shel Sheish Sheish, I would have thought it's describing three different rows of six each, because it would say Shtayim Ma'arachos, so two regular ma'arachos plus sheish ma'areches. Not that the sheish ma'areches is defining what the shtayim ma'arachos are, but that's an additional one. Lekach nemer shteim esrei. That's why it has to say that it's 12 to tell me that there are a total of 12, and therefore there are only two rows, and each row has six. V'ilu nemer shteim esrei chalos, and if it would have said shteim esrei chalos u'ma'arachos, and it would have said the ma'arachos in the second pasuk v'lo nemer shtayim v'sheish, but it would not have said that it's two ma'arachos, nor that it's six per ma'areches. So yisi omer, I would have thought 12 loaves, and there need to be ma'arachos. Okay, so let it be three rows of four each, three piles of four each. Lekach nemer shtayim v'sheish. That's why he has to tell me, no, two piles, six each. Ha'ad shel yomru shlosha mikros halalu, that without these three different psukim, one that tells me that there are 12 chalos, the other one that tells me that there are two piles, and the other one that tells me there are six in each pile, lo lamanu, we would not have known how it's divided up, how many chalos are and how they're divided up. Ha'ketzad, so what do you do, l'maisa? Nosin shtayim arachos al sheish sheish, v'im nosin achas shel arba, v'ach shel shmona, lo yatsa. And if you don't do the way it says, and you do one row of four and the other of eight, you're not yotze even b'diavad. Shtayim shel sheva sheva, what if you do exactly right, but then you add extra? Then you add an extra, you make 14, and you do seven on each row. So Rebbe Yom, Rebbe Rebbe says you yotze with the original six chalos, but Romanus Eliona Kilueina. We just view the top chala as if it doesn't exist, and therefore it does not passel the entire maracha. The Keren Ora points out you violated Baltosif, but it's not going to passel the entire maracha. Mar Cheshes in the Chuvin Chelik Aleph Simnir Aleph Anavdalin says, oh, well, if you violate Baltosif, then it should passel, because we have a principle in Baltosif that Kolamosif Goreya, that when you're Mosif to something, it ruins the entire mitzvah. You don't even get credit for the basics, meaning just like when you violate Baltigra, you don't get the mitzvah. It's not that you get, you put three tzitzios on your back, you don't get three quarters of the mitzvah. So too, when it's Baltosif, you lose the mitzvah. Tosos further asks that we had on Daf Sadivav that the Shulchan is Mekadesh only that which is in the original, the first 12 Tvachim above the surface of the Shulchan. So when you're putting that seventh Chala on, so where are the Bezicha Levona going? So according to the opinion that the whole Shulchan is only 10 Tvachim long, the Bezicha Levona went on top of the top Chalas. So if the Shulchan only has the ability to be Mekadesh the first 12 Tvachim, it should not be able to be Mekadesh the Bezicha Levona that are on top of it. So Tosla says, yeah, it must be that they pressed what we're describing over here is that they had seven chalas, but they pressed them down a little bit so that they all fit to within 12 tefachim of the height of the shulchan. Otherwise, in a chinami, there's nothing to discuss, because then you don't have the bezicha levona. Without the bezicha levona, you don't have anything. So ask the Gemara anyway. So the Gemara said, again, what do we have so far? That if you put two piles of seven each, well, that Rebbe said, you view that seventh loaf as if it's not there. So ask the Gemara, vabi inan v'nasata. But don't we require a nasata al marachas levona zaka? So when you put the levona on that seventh chala, it's not on the maracha, because that chala is not part of the maracha. It's not part of the maracha, so it's a luchara chatzitza. Rashi writes between meaning you're supposed to put the bezicha levona on the lechem apanim. That seventh lechem apanim is not a lechem apanim, so it's a chatzitza between the bezicha levona and the actual lechem apanim. The Marchashas asks, what do you mean min b'min? So it's not a chatzitza because it's the same min as the lechem apanim. So he says that it could be that it's not a chashash chatzitza over here. And the Gemara's kasha is that since the shulchan that's under the chalos and the levona ties them all together into one unit, so you have an extra chala. And since kolamos of Korea, so they should all be pasul, meaning exactly what he said should be the issue of kolamos of Korea. That's what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is saying, you violated Baltosif, then it's called the Mosef Korea, and that's why the Bezicha Levona are nowhere. But anyway, Pashas is like Rashi, that it's just going to be a Chatzitza. So I'm Lerav Chista, Lerav Amnuna, Va'armi Lerav Amnuna, Lerav Chista, Rebbe L'tamei, Domer Al B'samuch, Rebbe goes to Shita so that he understands that when it says that you put the Bezicha Levona Al the Lechem HaPanim, it doesn't mean on top of, it means nearby the Lechem HaPanim. And therefore, even if you put seven Chalos, there's not going to be a Chatzitza between the Bezicha Levona and the Shulchan. Titania, or in the Lechem Apanim. Titania, Rebbe Omer, the Brisa says that Rebbe taught us, V'nasata ala ma'areches Levona Zaka. Al b'samuch. That al means you put the Bezicha Levona on the Shulchan next to the two piles of Lechem Apanim. Atomer al b'samuch, v'enu al mamish. Are you sure? Maybe al means literally on top of. So Kshu Omer, when the Pasuk says, when it describes the erecting of the Mishkan, Sakosa ala Oron es haparoches, and the paroches was hanging from the side to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So nevertheless, the Torah says that it was ala Oron havyomer al besamuch, meaning it obviously wasn't over the Aron, it was a partition, it was a wall, so it was near the Aron that they put the parochas, so therefore you see that Al means Samuch. Kalakim Shem Mikdash. We then went on to say in the Mishnah that all the Kalim in the Mikdash, they would stand lengthwise to the length of the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara brings a Brisa that distinguishes between the way the Aron stood and all the other Klei HaMikdash stood. The Mishnah doesn't mention this Chilik, and the Rishonim, or Achronim rather, are bothered why the Mishnah doesn't mention that the Aron was different. The Mishnah just said, yeah, all the Kelim in the Mikdash stood lengthwise along the length of the Mikdash. The Arun is a notable exception. How could the Mishnah leave out that exception? So Tos Yom Tov says, because the Mishnah was only dealing with things in the Heichal, not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Arun was in its separate room, so it doesn't get counted. Tzfas Emma says that the reason it doesn't get mentioned is because the Arun was in a Minamida. The Arun didn't take up any space, meaning the reason it matters to us which way it ran is to figure out the floor plan. You have to figure out the floor plan when it comes to the Arun, because it didn't take up any space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash. And other Acharonim say that we're talking about in Bayesheni, the Aron was Nignaz, so it wasn't there. So you didn't have to think about it. But anyway, Tan Rabban, the Braisa does account for the Aron. It says, Kol Kedem Shemigdash Arko La Arko Shel Bayis. They Chutz Me Aron She Arko La Rachbo Shel Bayis. They all ran lengthwise, except for the Aron, which ran widthwise. Vekacha Yemunach, and it was placed as follows. Vekacha Yibadim Munachin, and that's how the Badim were placed as well. So Maika Amar, what does that mean? Kacha Yemunach, Kacha Yibadim Munachin. Hachi Kamar. What it means is Kacha Yemunach, that its length ran widthwise of the Beis HaMikdash, midabadav Kacha Yemunachin. And we know that because of, we know where the Badim were and where the Badim stuck out. So Badim Minalan, what do we know about the Badim? So Detanya, the Braisa explains that the Pasuk, when it describes the placing of the Aron and the Badim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at the time of the Chanukah Sabayis, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, it says Vayarichu Abadim. So Yachal, you might think, Lo Hayu Nogin Parochas, that the Badim didn't touch the Parochas. Tamil Omar, Vayera'u. But it says Vayera'u, that you were able to see the Rashi Habadim al Pnei Advir. So apparently from outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you saw that there were a Badim, you were able to see it. So Iva Yera'u, Yachal Makarim Parochas Vyotzin. If it's Vayera'u, you might think that they had to make little holes in the Parochas so that the Badim would stick through, and that's how you would be able to see the Badim. No, Tamil Omar, Velo Yera'u Achutza, that you were not able to see the Badim from outside the Kodesh HaKadosh. Well, which is HaKetzad? How do you reconcile those two things? That you did see it, you didn't see it. How can they both be true simultaneously? So the way it was true is Dochin Ubaltin Baparoches, that the Badim pressed up against the Paroches. V'domen k'mit shnei dadei isha, and they were like a woman's breast that were protruding, you're able to see that they're present from the outside of the garment, but doesn't actually stick out. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Tzror Amar Dodi Li Bein Shaddai Olin, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the Dodi, is Mashra Shechina between the Badei Aaron that protrude in the Paroches like the Shnei Isha. So that's a fulfillment of both psukim, that you were not able to see the actual badim from the heichal, but you saw that there were badim. So you see that the badim were running across the length of the Beis HaMikdash. Ah, so if the badim were running lengthwise across the Beis HaMikdash, it must be that the Aron ran widthwise, because that's how the badim were placed on the Aron. So it says, how do you know that's how the badim were placed? How do you know the badim ran along the wide side of the Aron and not along the length of the Aron? The 1.5 tfachim sides of the Aron, the Badim ran along, and not along the 1.5 amasai, not along the 2.5 amasai of the Aron. Uminalan debadav lipusyo de Aron aviyasvi. How do you know that the Badim ran along the width of the Aron? Dilma la arko de Aron aviyasvi. Maybe the Aron ran widthwise in the base Hamigdash, and ran lengthwise in the base Hamigdash, like every other keli in the base HaMikdash, and the Badim also ran lengthwise, and it ran along the long sides of the Aron. So says Mar, it can't be, because Amar Rav Yehuda, Trei Gavri Ba'am Sopalga Lo Mistagi Lehu, because when they would carry the Aron, the people that would carry it were inside of the Badim. So you can't fit two people in the Amma and a half that were inside the width of the Badim. You could fit two people in 2.5 Amos, right? A person, we assume, Ba'am Sayasiv, a person takes up about an Amma of space. So you can't have two people each carrying the Badim on the inside of a 1.5 Amma, of a 1.5 Amma space. So must be that the Badim ran along the width, so that the people that were inside the Badim were standing along the length of the Aron, and that's how they were able to fit. How do you know that there were two people on each side, and that you needed two people to fit. Maybe it was one guy holding it like this, you know, with his arms spread apart. One guy said, and another guy in the back holding it that way. How do you know they had to fit? They had to fit two people. Because the pasuk, when it describes the masaus in the midbar, it says vinasu hakahasim. It says vinasu hakahasim nosei amikdash veikimas mishkan ad boam. So we darsh vinasu hakahasim beloshen rabim. Rabim always means at least two people. So trey, that's two b'nei kahas. No say amigdash, again, Beloshen Rabim, Nami Trey, means two more people. So apparently the Aron was carried with four Levim, two in the front and two in the back. So Mela, you have to say that the Badim ran along the width of the Aron and not the length of the Aron, so that since the Badim went from Mizrach Lamarav, the Orech of the Aron was Tzafon Ledarim, not like the other Klei Amigdash that all ran along Mizrach L'Ma'arav. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. The Braisa says as follows: Asaru Shulchanos Asa Shlomo Amelech. There were 10 other Shulchanos aside from the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Shulchan that was made in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu that Shlomo Amelech made. Meaning, this is not 10 including the one of Moshe Rabbeinu; it's the one of Moshe Rabbeinu plus 10 more that Shlomo Amelech made. Shenemar, because the pasuk when it describes the Beis Hamikdash in the days of Shlomo Amelech, it says Vayas Shulchanos Asara, that he made Shulchanos Asara, that he made 10 Shulchanos. And he put five on the right and five on the left. So Vim Tomar Chamisha miyamin haPesach, Chamisha mismal haPesach. Five on the right and five on the left of what? So you might think that it means five to the right of the Pesach of the Heichal and five to the left of the Pesach of the Heichal. Imkein matzinu sheshulchan bedarom. But then it would turn out that the Pesach of the Heichal was in the middle of the Heichal. So it turned out that there are five Shulchanos to the left were on the southern side of the Heichal. And the Shulchan is always supposed to be Batsafun. It's not supposed to be Badarim. Not just Imkin Matsinu Shulchan Badarim. It's Imkin Matsinu that there would be five Shulchanos Badarim, right? Meaning the five that were on the left would all be Badarim. The Girsa of Rashi is exactly that. That Imkin Matsinu Chamesh Shulchanos Badarim. Vatara Amran, the Torah says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told where to place the Klei HaMishkan, Vashulchan Tite, so Ella must be that when we say there were five to the right, five to the left, it means Shel Moshe Be'em. So Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan was in the middle of these other 10 Shulchanos, Chamisha Miyamino V'Chamisha Mismolo, and there were five to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan and five to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan. So that's how it was situated. But it wasn't only Shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech added. Tan Rabbanan Eser Menoros Asa Shlomo. So Shlomo HaMelech made 10 more menoros aside from the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara earlier in the Masechta had said that Amar Yehuda Rav Eser menoros Asa Shlomo v'kol achas v'achas hevila elef kikar zahav v'chnisu elef pa'amim l'kur v'midu al kikar, that there was extremely, extremely refined gold and a massive amount of gold went into each one. So the Gemara derives from the pasuk mechlos zahav that the melacha was mechala all the zahav that was sagur, all of the very special zahav that Shlomo HaMelech had, meaning he used every last dollar to be mechabed the Beis HaMikdash, essentially that he made these very, very precious menorahs, these extra menorahs. Shenemar, because the pasuk describes that the Beis HaMikdash in the days of Shlomo HaMelech in Divrei Yamim, vayas es menorahs hazahav eser kamishpat v'yitein beichal chamish miyamin v'chamish mismol. And again, it's five on the right and five on the left. The Alkut Shimoni says he made menorahs hazav eser keneged aseres hadibros, and the Torah is nimshal to a ner, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. So he thought that was a proper symbolism for the aseres hadibros. The Gemara says mesachs b'basa that arutz hashiyach kim yadrim and v'simenayich menorah b'darom, that if you want to become wise, you face the south, and the simon is that the menorah is in the darom. So menorah represents Torah. So he thought 10 is a good number to represent the Torah. The Alkut also says v'kol menorah hayu b'sheva neros harei shivim keneged shivim umos, that once there were 10 menorahs, each one with 7 branches, so that's keneged the 70 nations, because kol zman she'neros dokos hayu miskabshim umiyom shekava neros niskabru, that we were able to control the other 70 nations and to remain to 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 uh, to retain our freedom and our autonomy. And as soon as those Neros go out, so too does our relationship with the 70 Umos go out. So there was a lot of thought, okay, that went into these 10 extra menorahs. But again, 5 on the right, 5 on the left. So the Bryce says, what do you mean 5 on the right, 5 on the left? If it means like the Pashtus of the Pasuk, 5 on the right of the Pesach, 5 on the left of the Pesach of the Heichal, imken metzinu menorah b'tzafon. Then it would turn out that the menorah, that 5 menorahs are in the northern side. V'atorah amra, but the Torah says, v'esha menorah nocha chashulchan, that the menorah stands on the southern side, opposite the shulchan. Ella shel Moshe be'emtza v'chamishim yimina v'chamishim yismala. No, it means 5 on the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah and 5 on the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. It doesn't mean 5 on the right and 5 on the left of the Pesach. So now the Gemara brings brisos that discuss the precise location of the shulchanos and the menorahs in how far into the Heichal, meaning how far west they actually were. So Tani Chada, we have one brisos that says mechatzi bayis v'lifnim hayu menachem, that these shulchanos that were in the Tzafon of the Heichal were put on the western side of the northern half of the Heichal, and not on the eastern side of the northern of the northern side of the Heichal. V'tani Chada, and the other Bryce says Mishlish Habayis v'lifnim hayu menachin, that it was not it was one third in, not halfway in, but one third to the west. So v'lo kasha, it's not a stira between the two Bryces, because they both mean that it was 50% of the way into the Heichal. The Heichal is 40 amos long. All of these were from the 20 amma mark and on. So Mar-Kachashev Beis Kachay HaKadoshim Ma Deheichal. It's just that one is when he's going through the fractions of whether it's halfway or a third of the way in, that it starts is cheshbening the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the length of the Kodesh HaKadoshim as part of the Heichal. So the Heichal is 40 amos. Kodesh HaKadoshim was another 20 amos, so that's 60 amos. Where were these shulchanos? After the first 20 amos. It was 20 amos into, you walk into the Heichal, you go 20 amos, and then you encounter the first one. So it's the second half of the Heichal, but it's after one third of the whole Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim measurement. Umar lo kachashiv beis kodesh HaKadoshim ba'de Heichal, and the other one does not count to the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Heichal, and therefore he says half as opposed to one third. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa that explains where these shulchanos were, and the Gemara says it depends on where the menorah and the aron were exactly. So Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that you have these 11 shulchanos that were on the northern side of the Heichal. Mizrach u'Marav hayu menachim. They were these shulchanos ran from Mizrach to Marav, from east to west. So they ran lengthwise along the length of the Arab, of the Beis Hamikdash, because the Beis Hamikdash ran east to west. Divrei Rebbe, right? That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Tzafon v'Darom. That no, they ran north south, meaning that the what we spoke about before, that all of the Kalim ran east-west, that they all ran lengthwise in the Beis HaMikdash, that means the regular Kalim. But these additional 10 menorahs, or 10 shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech added, says Rabbi Shimon, they ran north-south. And therefore their length was running across the width of the Beis HaMikdash. My time into Rebbe, why does Rebbe assume that runs Mizrach Marav, that it runs east-west, because Gamrami Menorah. He learns the placement of the Shulchanos from the placement of the Menorah. Ma Menorah Mizrach Marav, just like the Menorah runs east-west, Af Haninami. So these Shulchanos, Mizrach Marav, are also going to run east-west. Says Mar, great. Umenorah Gufa Minolan. How do you know that the Menorah ran east-west? Midichsiv, because the Pasuk says, B'ner Maravi, when it describes the Ner Maravi, it says, Yaruch Haso Aaron, and it says, Lufnei Hashem, that it's Lufnei Hashem Tamid. But that's Beloshon Yachid, that it's Yaruch Oso, so Mechal Dekulu Lav Lefnei Hashem. That sounds like all the other Neros are not Lefnei Hashem. So there was one Ner that was more Lefnei Hashem than the others. V'Yisal Chadaitach Tzafon V'Darim. But if it ran north-south, meaning width-wise in the Beis Hamikdash, Kulu Nami Lefnei Hashem Ninu, they're all equidistant from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They're all Lefnei the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because there's no one that's further, closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. so it must be that they ran lengthwise, and the one that's close to the Kodesh HaKadashim, that's the Ner Me'aravi, that's most in. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, my time, and why does Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon think that these Shulchanos ran north-south? Gomer Me'aron. He learns it from the Aron. Ma'aron Safon V'darim, just like as we described, the Aron goes north-south, meaning it runs widthwise in the Beis HaMikdash. Avhani Nami Safon V'darim. So these extra Shulchanos also ran widthwise. So ask Gemara, V'Rebbe Nami Ligmer Me'aron, why doesn't Rebbe learn from the Aron that it should run widthwise? So Dan Mechutz Michutz, he'd rather learn something that's outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim from something else that's outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Shulchan would sooner be learned from the menorah, Vein Dan Mechutz Mibifnim, rather than to be learned from the Aron, which was Lefnai V'Lefnin. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ligmar Mi Menorah. Why does Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon learn from the Aron and not learn from the menorah? Because Amar Lach, Menorah Guf Atzaf and Vedarom Hava Mancha. He'll say the menorah itself ran north-south, meaning he'd disagrees fundamentally. He says that the menorah ran north-south. There's a little bit of a problem, because from the Gemara it sounds like that whether the menorah and the shulchan or mizlach marav or tzafon darom are tlios zebezeh, that Rebbe learns the direction of the shulchanos from the menorah, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees with the shulchan, has to disagree about the menorah as well. That's somewhat problematic, because the Rambam, third paragraph of Chesbeis HaBechira, paskins that the shulchan ran la'orech habayis and the menorah l'rachbo. So if the Gemara seems to be linking the two, and the Rambam splits the two, a little bit of a difficulty. Frak the Gemara ela haksiv, but what do you do with the pasuk Yaruch Hasa Aron Uvanav, that it says Oso, that there's only one ner that's l'tzad marav? How do you have only one ner that's l'tzad marav if it's running widthwise in the Beis HaMikdash? They're all the same distance from the west. So demitzadidu atzude. No, it means that you take one of the wicks and you face it toward the west, whereas the other wicks are all facing toward the middle. So the one that's facing toward the west, it's not that that ner of the menorah, that branch of the menorah is closer to the west, that it's closer to Lefnai V'Lefnin, it's closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's just that you have a wick that's pointed toward the west. Titania, because the Braisa elaborates, the Braisa tells us this, when it comes to the Hadak of the menorah, it says, El mul p'neya menorah, ye'iru shiva saneros. Melame choy mitzadid p'neyam, klape nerem tsa'i, that the other six neros all face, the fires all faced toward the middle one. So since they were all facing toward the middle one, so that middle one was facing toward the west. And from here we see that the emtsai is more meshubach min atzadim, because you see the middle one is the one that they were all pointing to. Rashi says, the nafkamina, what's the mikan? Nafkamina for what? So Rashi says, nafkamina is, if you have 10 psukim that you need to lay, and you have to divide it into 3 aliyos, it means someone's getting 4 psukim. So he says the Amtsa'i is the most chashuv one, and he's the one that's going to get 4 psukim. It's a little bit of a problem, because if you look in the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara seems to it mentions this, but it says, and also the Rishon is Meshubach, and also the last one is Meshubach. I mean, it's a way of saying that any of them could get the 4 psukim, that they're all Meshubach. So that's what Tosa says, that the Nafkamina of Amtsa'i Meshubach is, if you have 3 people walking, the guy in the middle should be the most chashuv of a person, right? That the Amtsa'i is the Meshubach from that sense. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Bishlama. Everyone have a great day.